Bible Study Fellowship, Revelation, The Hope. Lesson 17, The Beasts from the Sea and the Earth. Focus verse, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Evil's pervasive grip on humanity can be perplexing. Who ultimately rules the world? How do you reconcile the wickedness in the world with the God of the Bible? Though the Bible clearly reveals God's absolute authority, almighty power, and sovereign control, evil often seems to have the upper hand on earth. Will Satan and his evil forces have their way? Can you trust God's promises that he will overcome evil? The lens through which you view your world and God greatly affects the way you think, live, and face the future. As John's vision continues, Satan engages two powerful personalities who try to destroy God's people and defeat God himself. The dragon watches as two evil beasts bring Satan's fury and deception upon the earth. God's people need both the sobering reality and prevailing encouragement that Revelation offers. While we should not dismiss the vehement hostility of God's enemies, Satan's worst devastation will not prevail over God's purposes. Things may look bleak and hopeless, but take heart. Satan will never defeat God or his eternal plan. Division 1, The Beast from the Sea, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. People on earth face a battle that reflects the cosmic struggle John described in Revelation chapter 12. As the interlude between the sounding of the seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments continues, Satan is hard at work opposing God and his people. Though already defeated, Satan is allowed another opportunity to wage war against God's people through his representative, the beast from the sea. Through this beast, Satan launches a brutal attack on the believing body of Christ. The Beast's Appearance, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. This chapter introduces two beasts, with the first receiving greater attention. John's ominous description of this frightening beast so closely resembles the dragon of chapter 12 that we can conclude the beast is an agent of the dragon and Satan himself. Both have 10 horns and 7 heads adorned with crowns. This imagery reflects the ferocity and distorted nature of this being. The strangeness of these images points to the dangerous battles raging within Revelation. Satan, even in defeat, persists in seeking God's power and authority. The devil often promotes himself through an evil counterfeit, a malicious perversion of something good. To accomplish his own evil ends, he corrupts and twists all that God intends for good. Satan's ploy is to mimic the slain Lamb of God. John's description of the beast from the sea mirrors images from Daniel 7. In his vision, Daniel saw four different beasts rise from the sea. One was like a lion, one was like a bear, one was like a leopard, and one had 10 horns. Daniel's interpreting angel explained the four creatures represented four kingdoms, which many scholars interpret as the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greco-Macedonian, and Roman empires. John's vision seemingly combines all four creatures from Daniel into one awful beast rising from the sea. This beast resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. John describes a beast that combines the pride, power, and cruelty of historic political kingdoms. This horrific beast unites the terrors and atrocities political empires are capable of unleashing. Interpretations regarding the beast's identity differ, but there is no question about his overwhelming opposition to God and distortion of his ways. Many believe this beast represents the future evil world leader, often called the Antichrist, though this title does not appear in Revelation. Paul wrote about a future individual with great power and influence, an important character in end-time events. A second view interprets this beast as an inclusive symbol of false teaching and evil world leaders who have attacked God's people throughout history. In one of his letters, John used the word antichrists to describe false teachers, especially those who wrongly represent Jesus. In a sense, both views are right. Present evil leads to a final display of escalated evil that faces ultimate defeat. A Once Fatal Wound, Chapter 13, Verse 3. The beast bears a fatal wound that has been healed. John later explains the beast had been wounded by a sword, yet lived. Having recovered from this fatal wound, the beast seeks to counterfeit the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The people respond with wonder and awe. Astonished and captivated by the beast's seeming resurrection, the whole world follows him. Frightening and apocalyptic language describes the beast, which makes us wonder why anyone would be drawn to such a strange and evil leader. Some will be deceitfully lured by the beast, who demonstrates what so many men and women seek and admire: power. Satan preys on humanity's sinful fleshly appetites. The Beast's Authority, Chapter 13, Verses 4 through 8. The beast's power extends into the spiritual sphere, and many bow and worship him. This demonstrates yet another way the beast mimics the true slain Lamb of God. The beast's deluding power is so great that a cry goes up from all around the world. Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? The seeming certainty of the beast's power and authority leads most people to succumb to its demands. The worship offered to the beast remains a parody of true praise. True worship is only rightfully offered to the incomparable God. The beast is given a mouth, meaning the special ability to articulate arrogant blasphemy against God. Could this mean that God allows the beast to speak especially appealing words to deceive all of the world's citizens, despite their diverse cultures and value systems? Even as culture becomes increasingly globalized, nations and peoples still differ. How could the beast communicate and unite almost everyone with his vicious anti-God agenda? The beast is an agent of Satan. Drawing from his immense intelligence and knowledge of humanity, Satan enables the beast to attract people's loyalty and turn them away from God. The beast speaks blasphemy against God, slandering his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. Everything true about God, his nature, his purpose, his angels, and his people, is attacked. Many who hear believe the lies. Such vast acceptance of slander makes God's holy people vulnerable to persecution, deprivation, and assault from every side. Granted limited authority by God, the beast is given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. The beast also receives authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. By his sovereignty, God allows the beast to exercise worldwide power for a prescribed, limited time. John's statement points to a future time when anti-Christian power will exercise global dominion over the earth. The distortion of truth embraced by the masses reveals the flaws within humanity that only God can fix. Be encouraged. God remains in control over Satan's deception and destruction. Satan always operates under God's authority. God's people may suffer, but his purposes never do. God limits Satan's terror in the lives of believers. In the Old Testament, God limited the suffering Satan inflicted on Job. In Revelation chapter 13, God similarly controls the beast's worldwide authority and persecution of God's people. The fierce power of demonic forces may appear relentless and unstoppable, but this is not the case. Individuals and societies need not give in to fear or pressure when evil escalates. Remember the dragon's unsuccessful bid to conquer the woman and her child. The unstoppable power of Almighty God limits Satan's evil schemes. Who worships the beast? All whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Mortals worship the beast in huge numbers, but God's true children do not. The Book of Life, first mentioned in the Bible by Moses and later by Daniel, John, Paul, and Jesus, records the names of every believer throughout time. Picturing those who belong to God's people, the Book of Life represents a kind of birth certificate, proof of identity, or registry of heavenly citizenship. Believers on earth during the beast's reign remain safe from his delusion, but they do not persevere through their own natural strength and faithfulness. Rather, God's mighty grasp and the permanence of Christ's new life within believers provides them with protection. Jesus said that in the last days, false messiahs will deceive, if possible, even the elect. Praise God, this is not possible. The power of God's eternal will and Jesus' death and resurrection secures those whose names are listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Satan has no hold on God's people. The Believer's Admonition, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. John offers an admonition with the same wording used in the letters to the seven churches. Whoever has ears, let them hear. In effect, he says, pay attention to what I just said. John's timely, critical message deserves deliberate attention and focus. In a world of competing voices, believers should develop an ear eager and trained to heed God's voice. This admonition is followed by a cryptic announcement of what is to come. John announces two possible outcomes for believers resulting from the malicious activity of the beast. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. John borrowed language from the prophet Jeremiah, who named four destinies: death, the sword, starvation, and captivity. The great suffering experienced by God's people during the time of the beast calls for patient endurance and faithfulness, not violence. Indwelt with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the enduring and faithful will oppose evil by living godly lives and proclaiming the gospel. They will speak, warn, and stand for truth. Some will face captivity, and others, martyrdom. Each believer has unique opportunities to honor and serve God. The path God marks out for His children may include suffering, but always promises God's sufficient provision. Living for God brings evil opposition and times of suffering. Yet even in this, God gives strength and courage. He develops believers' faith while proving Himself utterly faithful. Registry in the Lamb's Book of Life secures spiritual safety and eternal joy. The damaging curse of evil and rebellion. The doctrine of sin, its character, and universality. Sin is any thought, desire, or action that fails to conform to God's holy will and righteous standards. Sinful by nature, all of humanity is inclined toward rebellion against God. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, humanity fell with them. As a result, all people are born corrupted by sin and naturally rebellious. They enjoy feeling free and independent of God. Satan understands and shares every human's inborn desire for autonomy from their Creator and fuels that desire by distorting the truth. For this reason, the majority of the world's people will yield to the beast's appeal and control. Those who ignore and reject God become objects of Satan's delusion and manipulation. Sin's permeating influence explains the root of evil, but does not solve it. Amazingly, God saved us while we were still sinners. Only people who seek salvation from sin through God's sinless Son escape Satan's deception and the eternal punishment their sin deserves. The truth about sin elevates the priority of Christ's great commission for His followers. The evil in the world cannot be explained without understanding sin's stranglehold on human appetites and desires. Sin blinds people to the truth about God and themselves, leaving them easy prey for God's vicious enemy, Satan. No one will look to Christ for salvation who does not first recognize the rebellion residing in their own hearts and at work in this world. Without a proper grasp of sin's destructive power, lies cloud truth and confusion reigns. God offers a solution to sin's deception and damage. Grasping the truth that we are utterly ruined by sin prepares us to run to Christ for salvation. Giving up on trying harder to do better represents readiness to receive from Christ what human effort cannot achieve. Only Jesus can take our sin and offer His perfect righteousness in its place. The truth about sin exposes the amazing gift Jesus offers to sinners. The Holy Spirit transforms a believer's heart to no longer be captivated by sin's appeal and Satan's lies. God's grace through Christ extends to sinners, offering deliverance from wasted lives and eternal protection from Satan's fury. Division 2, The Beast from the Earth, Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. The relationship between the two beasts. In the shadow of the first beast rises a second beast, this time from the earth. This second beast seems to defer to and promote the first beast, whose fatal wound is healed. In three other places in Revelation, the beast from the earth is called the false prophet. While the first beast functions in a more military or political realm, this false prophet beast exercises religious power. Satan's triumvirate of evil, the dragon, the beast from the sea, and the beast from the earth, form a counterfeit trinity. Again, Satan mocks God. The two beasts come from different places but share one clear and united purpose. The second beast operates as a minister of propaganda, working magic to promote worship of the first beast as reasonable and attractive. As such, the actions of this second beast, or false prophet, seem in tune with Jesus' warnings in the Olivet Discourse, when he described the sinister and imminent approach of false prophets. A parody of the Lamb, chapter 13, verse 11. John offers a brief and perhaps puzzling description of the beast from the earth. It has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. The beast looks like a lamb, mimicking the true Lamb of God. This demonstrates Satan's primary tactic of deception. He masquerades as an angel of light. He misleads and deceives by misrepresenting the truth. Rarely is deception obvious. Rather, it is cunning and subtle, masking lies as truth. Despite appearances, the beast from the earth speaks like the dragon, spewing heresy, false teaching, and false prophecy. In appearing like a lamb, this false prophet fulfills Jesus' warning. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Strategies of the Second Beast, chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. Calling special attention to the healed wound, the second beast encourages worship of the first beast. This beast also performs great signs, adding credibility to his deceptive message. The Bible contains many warnings about those who perform miracles to lead people astray. Moses wrote about such wonder workers, saying those who performed miracles but pointed to other gods must be removed from among the people. Paul warned the Thessalonians about the coming of the lawless one, who will use signs and wonders to deceive. Jesus offered similar warnings. The second beast evokes awe with his ability to cause fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. This act duplicates fire called down by the prophet Elijah, first before the frustrated prophets of Baal, and twice when an army came to arrest him. Deriving power from Satan, this false prophet calls down fire from heaven to mock God's true prophet. Deceiving the people further, the second beast orders an image to honor the first beast and exercises power to give breath to the first beast's image. Roman imperial priests practiced all sorts of deceptions to make people believe statues of emperors, gods, and goddesses were alive. Some did this by ventriloquism, or with a person hiding in a hollow statue. Technology, cinematic animation, artificial intelligence, and other dramatic special effects certainly can make this happen today. No doubt, satanic enablement in the end times could create real miracles to fool the masses. Yet God alone holds the ability to give life. John probably meant this second beast wields Satan's supernatural power upon this image to further control the people. Jesus warned of widespread use of signs and wonders at the end of time. Christ's followers are not to be duped by such spectacles. The words spoken by true prophets must conform to the unchanging Word of God. True prophets speak in the name of the Lord, not in the name of some beast or mortal. True Christian leaders give glory to God, champion Christ's gospel, and stand firmly on God's word. This beast from the earth utilizes brute force to enforce false worship. All who refuse to worship the image of the first beast are killed. The false prophet beast forces everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. The beast adds socioeconomic sanctions to force compliance with its God-defying agenda. Without this mark, buying or selling is impossible. Whether this mark is a literal physical mark or a symbolic designation of possession or loyalty remains uncertain. In ancient times, slaves and soldiers were marked to show ownership and allegiance. Once again, Satan and his beasts mock God by counterfeiting the mark or seal placed on the foreheads of God's servants. A final admonition, chapter 13, verse 18. John said calculating the number of the beast requires wisdom and insight. The beast's number is 666. Many interpreters say this number stands for Caesar Nero, who epitomized a ruler who claimed to be divine. The name is derived from the practice of gematria, in which alphabetic letters were given numerical equivalents. Then, if a number was given, interpreters would try to work back to the letters and the spelling of a name. Other words and names have been suggested, but no clear equivalent has ever been determined without some manipulation of spelling or numbers. One suggestion, apart from the use of gematria, is that 777 would have been a number signifying completion and perfection, while Satan's beast falls short with 666, representative of the unholy Trinity. No one really knows the meaning behind the beast's mysterious number. God's people resist accepting the beast's mark, identifying instead with their Father in heaven. Though outnumbered and seemingly overcome by the cruel authority of the two beasts, believers remain faithful because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God sustains his people in his strength, not their own. Suffering believers need God's wisdom to navigate troubling circumstances and stand firm against Satan's onslaught. Wisdom is the appropriate and timely application of knowledge and truth. In this world and the future, there are many questions and few answers. We must wait for history to reveal who this brute leader will be, but we know God will limit his time and power. We live our daily lives in a world where Satan wields power, but God promises ultimate victory. Satan will never defeat God or his eternal plan. Take to heart. Hold fast. Satan has always tried to defeat God by corrupting humanity. The devil's power and subtle deception will delude even the most insightful human being, apart from God's protection and an awareness of Satan's evil ploys. John portrays the two beasts exerting both authority and influence over the entire world. This scene appears to be a win for Satan. The few Christians who remain are subject to the beast's oppression and murder. John, in exile himself, called believers to patient endurance, faithfulness, and wisdom. Those who resist falsehood, refuse the beast's mark, and remain loyal to the truth add to Satan's defeat by their steadfast witness and endurance. God's people know he remains faithful to his word. The blood of the Lamb has already defeated Satan. The Lamb's followers stand against Satan and his beasts. Their faith in the God of true authority, salvation, and eternal triumph holds them secure. Apply it. John's description of the destructive influences of Satan, his evil empire, and his wicked emissaries can be frightening even to believers. Satan wreaks painful damage even in the limited time God allows him to terrorize the earth and God's people. How do believers balance the steadfast hope God promises and the reality of Satan's war against all that God upholds? The Bible warns of Satan's damaging ploys, but also calls believers to primarily focus on God's sustaining strength and overcoming power. How is God calling you to stand for Him and trust in Him while living in a world dominated by sin? God is stronger than the enemy. No opposition can thwart His eternal purposes. Satan's tactics depend upon spreading fear and deception. Because God's enemies cannot overrule His truth, the only option left is to spread lies. How can you protect yourself from Satan's deception, which dominates much of the thinking in today's world? Even Christians can succumb to the world's pressure and propaganda and be unconsciously molded by godless ideology. Often Satan distorts truth with dangerous subtlety. Aligning their lives to God's Word helps believers recognize Satan's lies. God's unchanging truth provides awareness of Satan's deceptive and destructive agenda. Only salvation in Christ and a mind renewed by the Holy Spirit can protect anyone from Satan's schemes, which prey on the sinful appetites of the flesh. While warning about Satan's coming attacks, John calls believers to patient endurance, faithfulness, wisdom, and insight. How can believers obtain the strength and perspective they need against such formidable foes? Spiritual battles cannot be won by mere human strength. God knows well our inherent vulnerability and weakness. He does not intend for His people to seek isolation from the evil world, but to represent Him in the world. Only God can provide His people what they need to steadfastly stand for Him. How will you look to God, not your own fortitude, to persevere through this life's challenges and face whatever lies ahead? Believers endure, not because they are strong, but because God is mighty. What assures you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you are not confident you have received salvation through Christ, ask your class staff for the BSF resource, Am I Sure? This helpful document will lead you through the biblical truth of salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Your leader would love to talk with you, answer your questions, and pray with you. God calls His people from different contexts and cultures, yet makes them one in Christ. Jesus directed His last prayer toward our unity. God offers His children an opportunity on earth to reflect the unity they will perfectly experience one day in heaven. How sensitive are you to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you diligently seek to understand one another? This concludes this week's lesson. Thanks for listening, and we'll join you again next week.